Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again, broadcasting live from Auroville Radio. And I again bring you another episode in my series on exploring arts, animation, and filmmaking from the education point of view. Today, we are exploring filmmaking. And in today's episode, we are going to dive deep into the contributions of one Thomas Edison and the Lumiere brothers in filmmaking. So in my last episode, I covered the early years and origins of filmmaking from 1830 to 1910. And in this period, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph in 1877, and it quickly became the most popular home entertainment device of the century. Seeking to provide a visual accompaniment to the phonograph, Edison commissioned Dixon, a young lab assistant, to invent a motion picture camera in 1888. Building upon the work of Maybridge and Murray, Dixon combined the two final essentials of motion picture recording and viewing technology. These were a device adapted from the escapement mechanism of a clock to ensure the intermittent but regular motion of the film strip through the camera, and a regularly perforated celluloid film strip to ensure precise synchronization between the film strip and the shutter. Dixon's camera, the kinetograph, initially imprinted up to 50 feet, that is 15 meters, of celluloid film at the rate of about 40 frames per second. Dixon was not the only person who had been tackling the problem of recording and reproducing moving images. Inventors throughout the world had been trying for years to devise working motion picture machines. In fact, several European inventors, including the Englishman William Fryce Green, applied for the patent on various cameras, projectors, and camera-projector combinations even before Edison and his associates did. Because Edison had originally conceived of motion pictures as an adjunct to his phonograph, he did not commission the invention of a projector to accompany the kinetograph. Rather, he had Dixon design a type of peep show viewing device called the kinetoscope, in which a continuous 47-foot, that is 14 meters, film loop ran on spools between an incandescent lamp and a shutter for individual viewing. Starting in 1894, kinetoscopes were marketed commercially through the firm of Raff and Gammon for $250 to $300 apiece. The Edison Company established its own kinetograph studio, a small room building called the Black Maria that rotated on tracks to follow the sun, in West Orange, New Jersey, to supply films for the kinetoscopes that Raff and Gammon were installing in penny arcades, hotel lobbies, amusement parks, and other such semi-public places. In April that year, the first kinetoscope parlor was opened in a converted storefront in New York City. The parlor charged 25 cents for admission to a bank of five machines. The syndicate of McGuire and Baucus acquired the foreign rights to the kinetoscope in 1894 and began to market the machines. Edison opted not to file for international patents on either his cameras or his viewing devices, and as a result, the machines were widely and legally copied throughout Europe, where they were modified and improved far beyond the Americans' originals. In fact, it was a kinetoscope exhibition in Paris that inspired the Lumiere brothers, Auguste and Louis, to invent the first commercially viable projector. Their cinematograph, which functioned as a camera and printer as well as a projector, ran at the economical speed of 16 frames per second. It was given its first commercial demonstration on December 28, 1895. Unlike the kinetograph, which was battery-driven and weighed more than 1,000 pounds, that is 453 kgs, the cinematograph was a hand-cranked light wave, less than 20 pounds, that is 9 kgs, and relatively portable. This naturally affected the kinds of films that were made with each machine. Edison films initially featured material such as a circus or vaudeville act that could be taken into a small studio to perform before an inert camera. While early Lumiere frames were mainly documentary views or actualities shot outdoors on location. In both cases, however, the films themselves were composed of a single unedited shot emphasizing lifelike movement. They contained little or no narrative. In general, Lumiere technology became the European standard during the early era, and because the Lumiere started their cameramen all over the world in search of exotic subjects, the cinematograph became the founding instrument of distant cinemas in Russia, Australia, and Japan. In the United States, the kinetoscope installation business had reached the saturation point by the summer of 1895, although it was still quite profitable for Edison as a supplier of films. Raff and Gammon persuaded Edison to buy the rights to a state-of-the-art projector developed by Thomas Armert of Washington, D.C., which incorporated a superior intermittent movement mechanism and a loop-forming device known as the Latham Loop, after its earliest promoters, Gray and Otway Latham, to reduce film breakage. And in early 1896, Edison began to manufacture and market this machine as his own invention. Given its public demonstration on April 23, 1896, at Koster and Beall's Music Hall in New York City, the Edison Vitascope brought projection to the United States and established the format for American film exhibition for the next several years. It also encouraged the activities of such successful Edison rivals as the American Mutoscope and Biograph Company, which was formed in 1896 to exploit the Mutoscope peep show device and the American Biograph camera and projector patented by W.K.L. Dixon in 1896. During this time, which has been categorized as the novelty period, emphasis fell on the projection device itself, and films achieved their main popularity as self-contained vaudeville attractions. Vaudeville houses locked in intense competition at the turn of the century, headlined the name of the machines rather than the films. For example, the Vitascope, Edison's latest marvel, the amazing cinematograph, and many more. The producers or manufacturers supplied projectors along with an operator and a program of shots. These films, whether they were Edison-style theatrical variety shots or Lumiere-style actualities, were perceived by their original audiences not as motion pictures in the modern sense of the term, but as animated photographs or living pictures, emphasizing their continuity with more familiar media of the time. During the novelty period, the film industry was autonomous and unitary, with production companies leasing a complete film service of projector, operator, and shots to the vaudeville market as a single self-contained act. Starting about 1897, however, manufacturers began to sell both projectors and films to nomadic exhibitors, who traveled with their programs from one temporary location, could be a vaudeville theater, fairgrounds, circus tents, to another as the novelty of their films wore off at a given site. This new mode of screening by circuit marked the first separation of exhibition from production and gave the exhibitors a large measure of control over early film form, since they were responsible for arranging the one-shot films purchased from the producers into audience-friendly, audience-pleasing programs. The putting together of these programs, which often involved narration, sound effects, and music, was in effect a primitive form of editing, so that it is possible to regard the projectionist working between 1896 to 1904 as the earliest directors of motion pictures. Several of them, notably Edwin S. Porter, were in fact hired as directors by production companies after the industry stabilized in the first decade of the 20th century. By encouraging the practice of exhibition, the American producers' policy of outright sales inhibited the development of permanent film theaters in the United States until nearly a decade after their appearance in Europe. where England and France had taken an early lead in both production and exhibition. Britain's first projector, the theatrograph, later also known as animatograph, had been demonstrated in 1896 by the scientific instrument maker Robert W. Paul. In 1899, Paul formed his own production company for the manufacture of actualities and trick films, and until 1905, Paul's Animatograph Works Limited was England's largest producer, turning out on an average of 50 films per year. Between 1896 and 1898, two Brighton photographs, George Albert Smith and James Williamson, constructed their own motion picture cameras and began producing trick films featuring superimpositions. For example, the Corsican Brothers in 1897 and interpolated close-ups, Grandma's Reading Glass in 1900 and The Big Swallow in 1901. Smith subsequently developed the first commercially successful photographic color process, Kinema Color, copyrighted in 1906 with Charles Urban, while Williamson experimented with parallel editing as early as 1900 with a film known as Attack on a Chinese Mission Station, and became a pioneer of the chase films, for example, Stop Thief and Fire in 1901. Both Smith and Williamson had built studios at Brighton by 1902, and with their associates came to be known as the members of the Brighton School, although they did not represent a coherent movement. Another important British filmmaker was Cecil Hepworth, whose Rescued by Rover in 1905 is regarded by many historians as the most skillfully edited narrative produced before the biograph shots of D.W. Griffith. And that brings us to the end of this episode. In the next episode of Filmmaking, I will explore the contributions of Georges Méliès and Potter to filmmaking. Thank you.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.